Good morning, everyone. I'd like to share a few thoughts this morning and a talk that might be, a reflection that might be called something like Dogen Updated or Dogen and the Coronavirus. So please sit comfortably. I hope everyone and everyone's families are in good health and living out the coronavirus with some degree of equanimity. Hopefully our practice of Zen is helping us deal with the situation that's facing us these days. These are challenging times for many of us. That involves a narrowing of our ordinary life as we get back to basics and find ourselves much more self-reliant and living in close company with a few people rather than many. As Jeff Dawson has indicated in one of his recent talks, there are also opportunities for new learnings in this kind of situation. A while ago, in one of our committee meetings, somebody raised, jokingly, said, I wish Dogen had some advice for us on how to hold Sesshin online. Of course, Dogen, who lived in the 12th century and 13th century, didn't have much to say on the topic of online Zazen. He did have a lot to say about Zazen, as those who are familiar with our sutra book know. We have excerpts of quite a detailed series of suggestions or protocols for how to sit. Dogen also wrote or talked about other very mundane things, particularly cooking and, well, including some very, very interesting aspects of ordinary life, more of which I might allude to in a moment or so. One of the things he did write about, if not online Zazen, was something that is near and dear to our hearts and to the hearts of our public health officials these days, and that's washing our hands, which is so central. And we always hear, those of us who follow the ABC, always hears Norman Swan sort of signing off, reminding us once again to wash our hands frequently. Well, Dogen was also into washing hands. And as he wrote about cooking and other very concrete things like sitting, he did write or give talks on hand washing. And here in part of what he had to say about washing our hands. After referring to a conversation between the sixth ancestor, Huineng, whom we might know from the Platform Sutra, and a disciple, and several other classical sutras. So Dogen often bases talks, even if they can be about very mundane subjects, on various precedents in Zen. After referring to those, he talks about the location and the use of the toilet and the ablution wing, which he called the eastern quarters of Zen temples. Among other things, on the topic of the toilet, he does instruct monks, quote, not to write on the walls of the toilet, something that seems to transcend chronological boundaries. Coming specifically to washing the hands, he says, with your right hand, you take a spoonful of ashes, place it atop some pebbles, drip water on them, and with your contacting hand, with your right hand on the contacting hand, using the pebbles to scour it, just as though you were cleaning rust off a sword. Next, take some cleaning powder, made from ground orange seeds in the right hand, moisten it with water from the small bucket, and wash by rubbing your hands together. You should wholeheartedly devote your attention to washing in a conscientious manner. After some further instructions on rinsing and drying the hands, he concludes, "When matters are handled in this way, everything will be a purified Buddha land. You should do everything with care, without a lapse. You should not act from haste, as though in a dither. Do not entertain the thought, 'If I hurry, I can get back to what I was doing.' You should keep in mind the principle that, when you go to the Eastern Quarters, the Buddha's Dharma is not something to be talked about, but lived. Not something to be talked about or just talked about, but lived." So even though Dogen can be as difficult and abstruse and philosophical in some of his talks as any Buddhist I've ever encountered, very challenging in his use of language, here he's very concrete, very down to earth, just telling us about life, the daily routines of life, or life as it is, as we say in our practice principles. So, updating Dogen, moving from the 13th century to the 21st century, how might we interpret his instructions? And this is something that I've now started to practice without too many lapses every time I wash my hands, which is, of course, quite frequently these days. So what does it take? Just like, what does it take to walk in a walking meditation, to do our Kenyan? What does it take to wash our hands? Well, for me, probably the first thing is, often in the winter I've got long sleeves. I've got to roll up my sleeves a little bit, or otherwise they get wet. Turn on the water. Adjust the temperature of the water. Lather my hands fully with soap, getting as much soap as I can I'm comfortable that I'm comfortable with, and then one by one, following a routine of what I hope, if not surgical precision, at least will keep my hands clean. So maybe I might start by rubbing the left hand with the right hand, palm to palm, and then turning over and rubbing, changing the position of the hand so that the other hand is at the bottom and rubbing that. That takes care of the palms. Maybe then turning the hands over, rubbing the outside of my left hand with my right hand, and then switching, rubbing the outside of my right hand with my left hand. Then paying attention to the fingers, again taking the left hand in the right and rubbing the fingers, drawing along the fingers and reversing the process with the other hand. From there I might move to washing between the fingers. Make sure I get those crevices between the fingers lathered up and washed as well. And as I've heard some experts say, make sure to wash around the nails as well. So just like our walking meditation, where we were conscious of raising a foot, putting it down in different positions, keeping our balance, there's a whole series of mindfulness actions that we take in washing our hands. Okay, we still got soap on our hands, so of course the next thing is to rinse our hands thoroughly under the running water, and finally to dry our hands very carefully with a clean towel, and in my case, pushing down my sleeves again that I've just rolled up. So, on the one hand, this is, of course, a health exercise for us. On the other hand, it's also, as I've been suggesting, an exercise in mindfulness, can we be mindful of each step in the process, just as we can about sitting in Zazen or walking in Qinghin? Now, I've also seen, as others may have seen, some other suggestions for mindful ways or Zen ways of washing the hands. Another that I've seen mentioned a couple of times is reciting a gatha. Thich Nhat Hanh has several gathas about washing the hands that I've seen on the web, one of which is I'm changing it from washing the dishes to washing the hands here. Washing the hands is like bathing a baby Buddha. The profane is the sacred. Every mind is Buddha's mind. So that might be something that some people find useful. Again, elevating the very mundane to an essential part of Zen practice. A number of other websites I've noticed have suggested reciting the loving-kindness meditation, the metta meditation, which if you slow it down a little bit, takes about 20 seconds, which is the suggested time for washing your hands. So we could say something like, may all beings be safe and secure. May we all be healthy and strong. May we all be compassionate and kind. May we all be free from suffering. I didn't time that, but that can work to give you an approximate time for washing the dishes. I must say, I prefer myself, for my own practice, what I find myself doing is that mindful attention to each of the individual actions that constitute washing, rinsing, and drying our hands. There are, of course, other mindfulness exercises that we can use in this period of the coronavirus. One that people practice probably quite unconsciously, if not perfectly all the time, is social distancing. I don't know if you've had the experience that I've had where you've gone, probably not so much in the least recent weeks, but a bit earlier, approaching somebody too close, somebody I hadn't seen in a long time I met on a walking track. And the first thing he did was extend his hand to me. He said, hi, Tom. And I had a moment of reflection, of mindful reflection, saying this is probably not the kind of thing that we should be doing in this age of social distancing. Something else that I use, which is related to a suggestion that Anya made during our last Zazen session, where she talked about RAIN, about using that as an acronym, R-A-I-N, to pause and to nurture oneself in that pause. There's another suggestion, which I know that Anya and I and other mindfulness-based stress reduction teachers use often, and that's STOP, which is a little bit more concrete and maybe grabs my attention a little bit more strongly. So using the acronym STOP, S-T-O-P, we can apply that in various situations to first S, stop whatever it is we're doing, T, take a breath, O, observe what's going on in mind and body at that point. And then, of course, we can't just stay in suspended animation, but go to P to proceed with whatever it is we're doing, but hopefully now in a more mindful way. So there can be various triggers. We can make up all sorts of triggers on our own from every time we reach for a doorknob or well, brush our teeth or wash dishes or any sort of regular activity that we engage in. I'm finding one, since I'm spending, and I imagine other people are, a lot of time on the computer, is to get an app. I've got one called Mindful Minor Bird, and that can ring randomly, and when it rings, that reminds me just to stop, take a breath, observe, and then proceed. And another one that I'm using, again, that more than ever perhaps, is my phone, so that every time I go to at least make a call, if not answer a call, I can go through that STOP routine. And I'm finding both these two practices for me, the hand washing, the mindful hand washing, and the STOP when making a call anyway on my phone, to be ways of bringing me back to the present moment.